people. It is the Starship Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis up for another day of broadcast insolence. All right, I want to say something here.
Oh, say something. I want to hear it.
Before I thank all the people for the amazing job that they did on Friday for the first Roel,
amazing.
I would like to explain to Violetta, it's Sylvania, not Slovenia.
Yeah, I got it.
No, you don't.
Slovenia.
It's not. It's not Slovenia? A country it's in Slovenia, Central right? Europe. It's Sylvania.
Sylvania.
It's not.
Gotcha. That's the sponsor.
Not Sylvania. The first lady's
Sylvania
home country.
Automotive.
That's you pronounce exactly like Melania pronounces it.
Back in Slovenia.
Maybe we should get the headlight from Slovenia for
Sylvania.
That's it.
Sylvania.
You got
Sylvania.
It.
Sylvania.
Yeah.
You got
Sylvania.
It.
Hmm? Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yep, there you go. Well done. All right, now I would like to thank all the people who were so intimately involved in coming out, especially the 1,100 people who came out
amazing.
The show.
By every measure, the first Roel was a resounding success. The fun had, the money raised, the toys that brought in, the generosity. It was a beautiful, beautiful afternoon and evening.
1,600 toys were raised. Over $5,000. In cash was raised for the Marine Corps Toys for Tots program. That's where they send the Marines and Marine spouses, Marine families out to Walmart or wherever. Walmart has a special deal with Toys for Tots for mm-hmm. this, and they take the money that you raised out there, that you guys gave, that you people came out and donated so generously, and they will go with that $5,000. They're going to go to Walmart and they're going to clear the shelves, and then they put that into the program. It's very very, and it all stays here. All those
all
toys
stays
stay
local.
Here. So it was really, it was just an absolutely amazing thing. If people want to take part in this, you can go to chicago-il.toysfortots.org and you spell out four. chicago-il.toysfortots.org is the place to make further donations if you would like to do that. It was so much fun, and we got to thank the Ides of March. And we're going to actually, Jim Peterick's going to join us a little bit later on the program because they have a gigantic show that is coming up at the Arcata on Saturday. And I don't think you're going to want to miss that.
No, one of the things that not to be missed, too, I think we have video of it, of Tom Skilling dancing and singing along to Vehicle on stage with the Ides of March.
Yes.
Quite a moment.
Yeah.
Friday.
So
Tom Skilling can dance. Did you notice that? He's got his moves.
Of all our incredible show outings we've done and the nights out together, that was maybe my top, my favorite.
Oh,
that was just amazing.
We were all just bursting with energy just after, you know, it just was so much fun.
Tom
really.
Asked me to teach him how to twerk.
Did that happen? I was
no.
Wondering if
Save it for
happened.
When Tom's here. I can't wait to hear his testimony on this. There's a photo gallery at WGNradio.com. And if you want to see all of the stuff that was going on up there before, there's some behind the scenes photos and then above the scenes, in front of the scenes, I don't know, what would that be? Photos. There was, it was just a ton of fun and we're really glad. I want to thank our sponsors who paid for the party, New Balance, they presented, Hilton's of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Apple Chevrolet, Lou Malnati's, Verdoliak Law Group, Sweet Alley's, Architect of Chicagoland, Never Measure, Morcus Chocolates, Big League Pins, and Chicago Costume.
And John Alfirovich from Apple Chevrolet was telling us that they received such an outpouring of support and people dropping off toys during the broadcast. They did before, but during the broadcast as well, people just came on out and dropped off so many toys. So thank you, everybody, for helping out. Really
great.
Cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. It was amazing, and thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thanks
thank you.
For everything.
And the nice part about this is because the first Roel was a success, there will be a second Roel.
Do you call it the second Roel?
Yes, absolutely. Why no. not?
Why not?
Or
we'll
the last
on your
Roel.
Success.
Yeah. It'll be the first Roel and the last Roel. I don't know. It'll be one of them.
Hey, it'd be great if we could repeat that again because it was really awesome.
Do we have to wait till Christmas?
Well, you know, we used to do these four times a year for different charity causes.
I can get behind that.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know if these guys get behind it though. I'll be honest with you. I think we took a lot out of these folks back here. I drove people nuts like you've never been driven nuts before to get this thing done, and so
it worked.
Between the engineering department, Bill Malone, who was out there with us, and you know, the amazing engineers here at WGN. and between the Ides of March people and between our sales and our promotions department, who I was, well, let's just put it this way. I am getting lumps of coal from all of them.
You were demanding.
For all of the things that we needed to get done to get this thing done right. And we did, and they were great, and everybody did exactly what they needed to do. But, you know, we cracked a few eggs, apparently, along the way.
It was so fun.
Yeah, it was.
Well worth it, whatever, all the effort.
Yeah, all the effort you guys put into it was definitely well worth it for me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad you and the entire nation of Sylvania had a good time.
It doesn't rhyme with Slovenia.
Everyone's talking about it in Slovenia. It's all the rage over there.
Slovenia.
Wherever it is.
Slovenia. All right. We've talked to Ben Bradley from the WGN TV newsroom. Coming up right after we check in with Judy in the WGN radio newsroom. What's happening?
No excuses for excuse, man. We'll explain coming up at 3:30. Yes. Hey, Bears fans, enter for your chance to win two spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun. ChicagoTribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune.
All right. Ben Bradley joins us from the WGN TV newsroom.
Hello. Good afternoon. Happy Monday to you guys.
Happy Monday.
Thank you, Ben. Did notice as we were preparing here, we have a camera on you so I can see what you're doing before we get on the CLTV.
What was he doing?
And he was dancing a jig, and I don't understand what you were doing.
Well, Vicky, our 6 o'clock producer, and I have a deal where I will make her laugh at least once a day. I did not realize, so she had told me that I did not make her laugh yet today.
Oh, so kidding.
I did a little jig, and I did not realize it was on camera.
Uh-huh.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Captured for all the world to see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do a good Irish jig? Or
No, it's a bad Irish jig. It looks more like a seizure, I think.
Yeah, I would say that was the case.
Yeah.
I thought maybe that the WGN TV newsroom had been invaded by rats or snakes or something, and he was trying to get his feet off the floor or flood something.
Yeah. We were also discussing how WGN is probably the only newsroom in the country that has a light-up Santa in the background of our newsroom shots. So when we're doing the most important stories, for example, on Friday night, as Tom Negevin is, you know, reading the latest Mueller filings. You've got Santa over his shoulder.
You got a Santa and you've got a Frosty the Snowman back
there. Yeah, we had a menorah up there, too. You know,
because, how ecumenical of
us. We are. We spread it out. Here's the menorah right here. Paul Lisnick is handing it to me.
Oh, of course he is.
It's
I've got one right here.
Hold on, ready? And it's like everything else at WGN. It's very high quality.
It looks plastic.
Except for apparently somebody already popped the batteries.
Are we
out
in the last night of it now?
Yes.
How come there's nothing illuminated on the menorah?
It is. It's just under the studio lights. You can't see it.
I see.
Yes.
All right.
You can pick yours up, by the way, at Dollar General.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
How about this story? A campaign worker out canvassing for a 15th Ward alderman in the Inglewood neighborhood for a challenger, Joe Williams, got shot as he was broadcasting live on Facebook. There are questions now about whether or not he may have been targeted. A lot of political back and forth today with the incumbent alderman, Ray Lopez, telling our Pat Elwood that this is disgusting, that his challenger would seem to suggest that you know this may have been some sort of political intimidation. The challenger originally said that, but he's since walked it back a little bit. That campaign worker who was shot is hospitalized right now. So Pat Elwood is covering that.
But he's not in life-threatening condition, right?
No, we think it was an in-and-out wound. So
he drove himself to the hospital.
Okay. Yeah, but interestingly, Alderman Lopez, as he was trying to say, "Hey, look, my campaign, my people had nothing to do with this." He pointed out, "Hey, when there's a stranger, going up and down a street knocking on doors, this may have been Chicago gangs just trying to exert their authority over a particular block."
So I'm assuming they don't have any suspects in custody
at this point. No motivation. No one in custody.
Gee.
It's chilling when you see the video.
It is. Mm-hmm.
We'll play a little bit of this later on in the program, but if you want to find it, you can. It's everywhere now.
Yeah.
And it is, because, the guy, he's just identifying himself. It's a Facebook Live feed, and he's just identifying himself as a campaign worker. He's showing the campaign literature, and I'm out here on the streets, and I'm doing this kind of a thing. I mean, one would imagine, like a campaign worker would do now in the modern era with this kind of technology.
Right.
And he's doing it, and just as he's doing it, you hear the shots ring out. Three shots ring out. And so it's not as if somebody just shot to warn. Somebody was trying to kill him.
Shoot to kill.
And that is just an I mean, it's incredible to me. And when these things happen, I always stop and I think about what the person on the other end of that gun, what were they thinking? What did they, what was the threat that they perceived? Was it what is wrong in their lives that they would do something like that to somebody mm-hmm. they have no idea who he is or what he's doing? I mean, it's just it's walking down the street. It's crazy, and it's so destabilizing when you stop and you think that there's people out there like that.
As an old school Chicago cop told me years ago, when I was a Cub reporter trying to understand a similar scene, Ro, he said, "And the problem is, you and I are standing here trying to assign a rational motive for what is inherently an irrational act, right? Just opening fire on some random guy who's on your block."
Right.
So, you know, figuring out motives is tough right. business.
Well, it speaks volumes to one of the issues they're trying to deal with in that ward, and one of the reasons he's canvassing. They're trying to address this particular issue of violence mm-hmm. head-on, and in the process, here's this guy who gets shot in the middle of the day like that.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, and Pat has also learned some more information, interesting information about that campaign worker who was shot. So he's going to have that for you on the news at 4
all
today.
Right. Very good. All right, we'll see you today at 4, 5, 6, 9, and 10, of course, on the WGN-TV news side. And we're going to talk to Tom coming up at 4 o'clock about his evening with us.
Oh,
I think we basically
spectacular.
We ruined him for
Speaking
Channel 9.
Speaking of good dancers.
Oh, yeah. He was exactly. remarkable.
Yeah.
That's killing. Who knew?
No one knew.
A lot came out that night,
yeah.
Friday night.
We learned a lot of things.
Him a little differently today when he walked in, I will say that.
He had a little spring in his
He stuff. Left some of his clothes behind in our dressing room. It's true.
I think his jacket, when he was twirling around on top of his head, it just went flying. We didn't know where it was.
Yeah.
Please don't wear him out. We've got the WGN Christmas party on Friday, and we need him for that, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks for inviting
yep.
us.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ben. Let's check in with Judy in the WGN newsroom. It's 3:30. Tis the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. I'd like to remind you, if you want to go see the Ides of March, who are with us, our house band, on... And what an amazing thing it is to be able to say, you know, the Ides of March, yeah, they were our house band at our Toys for Tots event on
they
Friday.
They rolled with every punch. I mean, the crowd loved them. It was just, they just played along with absolutely everything.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da.
We were all singing that all night.
I still am.
They are they're doing their Christmas show on Saturday at the Arcada in St. Charles. Arcada Live, ARCADA, ArcadaLive.com for tickets to that. All right. I think everybody's feeling pretty good about that. We did good on Friday. Now we're back to doing evil here on Monday. I don't know how that worked out. A.B. Stoddard joins us right now from Real Clear Politics, and she is, well, she's sometimes as bewildered as I am, but she just hides it better than I do.
She does. And, a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, I'm far more emotional. I just am. First question I have, I was just mentioning this to Anna, the one of the big stories today is that now that John Kelly is leaving as the chief of staff to the White House, there was this kid, Nick Ayers. I like to say kid because he's about...
Younger than you.
He's a lot younger than I am. I'm almost old enough to be his father. He's turned down the job of chief of staff, citing, well, he's got kids and stuff. Yeah, it's a hard job. A 34-year-old does not turn down that job unless he's afraid of it.
Yeah, this is a really interesting plot twist because he's been named for a while as the replacement. And that was sort of the impetus for getting rid of Kelly in terms of the timing. 5 months ago, Kelly said that he talked to the president, he's going to stay on through 2020. And then there were all those stories, like we read, you know, every 9 days about how Kelly's going to leave. But it was really, you know, sort of the Ivanka and Jared crowd who run the country were basically telling him, look, it's time to dump Kelly because now we finally have, like, we have this perfect replacement. And he gets along with Nick Ayers. I mean, great. Nick Ayers had, I did read this a long time ago, that Nick Ayers has young kids and wanted to go back to Georgia at some point. That said, he was apparently happily working for Vice President Pence away from his small children. So there's a few things going on. Kellyanne Conway has been named as one of the people, the counselor to the president, who doesn't get along with Nick Ayers, and there were threats of people leaving if he took the job. So there was some internal pushback, not from Jared and Ivanka, who want to get Kelly out the door, and who approved of Nick Ayers. And then he has made a very good living as a political consultant. And I love when we see things like disclosure forms reveal he has made between $12 million and $53 million as a political consultant at age 36.
Right.
So there was going to be some scrutiny into his finances, and I think it sounds like he, who also is ambitious and hopes for a run at public office one day, is much better off making all that money and seeing his children in Georgia.
Right, not explaining how he did it.
For Trump.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask you any questions about that. The public part of it was that he was concerned about his ability to manage the president, which I'd imagine would be a huge issue, and also just maintaining his reputation in the Republican Party moving forward.
Well, I mean, there's a piece out today that Josh Rogan, I don't know if he tweeted or wrote it, I'm assuming he wrote it, but, about Pompeo running the State Department and all this criticism that's piling on top of him. It's just so hard to think of who has emerged or escaped, is the better word, unscathed. I think Nikki Haley and Dina Powell, can we think of anyone else? I guess Gary Cohn, like, is happier now, but he, got beat up on because he was going to leave after Charlottesville. And as a Jew, he wrote this letter to the president. He's very offended. But, like, everyone is finding their reputations diminished as a result
right.
of this kind of service to this president.
There isn't, and no one's coming out of this better than they went in at the moment. And that, I think, if you are an ascendant person in politics or in media or whatever it is, do you really do that? And what is interesting is that the president does not seem to really try to help these people on the other side. There was, Hope Hicks is, and I don't think she came out of this necessarily better than...
Better than most people, and that's because she really is like this child. She's like a quasi Trump child, and grew up in like under the tutelage of Ivanka professionally, even though she's still like only 23 or whatever. But really, she has great protections, and she got a job in communications at Fox, and I think that she's one of the names I should have listed. But
yeah, but I don't know that she's. I think at the end of the day, when this story is finally written. About what happened here.
Oh, you're right, that she probably lied about the Russia stuff.
Yeah, there's going to be some other pieces in this that, or at least didn't know, or there'll be some suspicion about it. Because conversations that I have had over the last year with people who are big Trump supporters, many of whom are in my family, and I say, I just don't think this is going to end well for the Donald Trump's reputation, or necessarily the Trump company, or any of those things. He's not going to go down. Already, we could see the failings of reputation already taking seed here. It's not about the economy was great for a year, right? Or we got a tax. He repealed. I mean, what's the legacy going to be? We got a tax cut that people didn't really think was that great once they started paying their taxes, and he stripped all these regulations, including jumping in today. There are four countries on the planet Earth who have now decided that they are going to go against this big Paris Climate Accord report that is coming out to the United Nations. And the four countries that are saying that they would like the language change to say that climate change isn't as bad as people say it is basically what it's about, are Kuwait, Saudi Arabia, Russia, and the United States.
Oh.
Has it ever been...
A singular distinction.
Yes. Now, what is interesting to me is that those are three petrochemical economies, right? Kuwait and Saudi, obviously, right? The only thing they have is the oil. Russia, that's the biggest piece of their economy, is the oil. Oil is not the biggest part of our economy. And I do not understand why we're doing that, especially at a moment where the Saudis just killed a guy, and then Putin and this other dude, high-fived each other, and then all of a sudden, our guy's going to jump in with them.
But it's of a piece. I mean, it's of a pattern. It may seem surprising on like a macro level, but it's perfectly in keeping with his conduct and his decision making so far.
I know.
I'm not saying it's not unfortunate,
but
Jim Vandehei of Axios made a great, really a stunning comment today on Morning Joe that if we had not been learning of this piece by piece, this Russia story, it is, we would know that it is the biggest, most consequential story in presidential history. But because we've it, because we've been drinking the drip by drip for 2 years or more, it doesn't have the same like profound effect.
Well, it will. When
you're good to step back, Ro. You're good at like seeing the shock value of all of these decisions.
Very good at that.
Like the decision to unwelcome or not welcome this climate report. But at the same time, it's not surprising.
Well, I think eventually when the thing, and that's part of the problem with the drip by drip, and that's why. But I know why Mueller's doing it, and actually, Trump and his folks have been very good at making it a drip by drip as opposed to a tsunami, because the tsunami would overwhelm them. If they can keep it, you know, coming out in little dribs and drabs before they're ready to do it, or maybe they expose stuff that they're not ready for yet because they're afraid the president's going to shut them down. All of that. I mean, it's good offense defense here. If you just want to look at his political mechanics, I'm looking at this as an American. I'm looking at this as somebody who cares about the reputation of the United States of America in the years in which I'm alive and my children are alive, right? So I'm very concerned about that and what it looks like moving forward. And Republican and Democrat and liberal and conservative are not really at play here. I would take any of these. You're watching the Bush funeral and you're thinking to yourself, oh my God, I wish I could be, you know, we could have George W. or H.W. or anybody. I don't care how mad people were at the time. This is a very dangerous moment for the reputation of America on the world stage and for how we see each other. And I just want to remind you of something. I want you to tell me, I want you to find somewhere, there may be, but there are not many, find me a Richard Nixon Junior High School in America, right? They don't name junior high schools after Richard Nixon.
This is a very good point. Should we tell Trump?
Yes. I don't think you're going to see Donald Trump Junior High.
No, but he's got his name on enough buildings, I would say.
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. This is an interesting, but his tweets today were awesome. It was a single private, a single private transaction, which is obviously very legal and very cool. That's the way he's describing what was revealed in the sentencing memos. And the thing is, you see a lot of like poo-pooing from Republicans, like, I don't think we want to get into these campaign finance things, like others have had them, and like we'd all have to go to jail if they were all prosecuted, and they're really not. I mean, it's about women, and he's trying to pursue his wife, or whatever they're trying to say, but the reality is that Republicans can't be in the business for long defending felonies.
Right.
And saying, oh, I'll need more than that. A Manafort pardon has to push me over the edge. Like, you know what I mean? They know it's heading in one direction, which is so interesting about your conversations with your family, because I even have this moment with lawmakers when they go, it really probably won't end up like that. And I say, it won't end up like that. It's moving in one direction, and you're convinced it's not going to end up with any financial crimes. It's all going to exonerate him. It's all going to be fine. And it's just, you know, it's they really want to believe that this is going to sort of turn around and end up okay.
Richard Nixon Junior High School.
Junior High School.
Yeah, I go to Richard Nixon Junior Junior High.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't see that.
It's the not a crooks is the school mascot. I mean, come on. I mean, it just won't end well, because I mean, remember Republicans in 1998 weren't singing that tune, right? They wanted to go after a guy for lying about having sex with the intern, and I got that. I understood it.
Oh, I love the line on that now, though. It's, you know what, we learned our lesson. We went after him, and he just got more popular, and now they call it process crimes. That's what Lindsey Graham coined it last week, and so they're all going to run around saying that lying under oath is a process crime.
Right, and you know what, and cheating on your disclosure forms, and that's just fine. It just is what it's just politics. So we're going to degrade. I mean, and I blame Bill Clinton for a lot of this too. I do think that if Bill Clinton had not been president of the United States in that second term, and this whole thing wouldn't have happened with Monica Lewinsky, we wouldn't have had Donald Trump. Because there wouldn't have been a Hillary Clinton, there would have been a Donald Trump, there wouldn't have been, I mean, there were a lot of different things that went into this. But
this is a very interesting theory, yeah. And I'm still mad at Bill Clinton for lying under oath. I mean, we can't win. Right now, Democrats are afraid, not saying that they should impeach him without a Mueller report, but, you know, the actual end of the investigation. But what's so interesting is there's now a conversation that in Washington about whether or not it would just help Trump to get impeached. So maybe the Democrats, to block him from a second term, really can't impeach him. So now nothing's impeachable because it'll boomerang politically. So impeachment means nothing. So now Trump will want impeachment and the Democrats won't want to give it to him.
Oh, for God's sake. I almost said a different word instead of God right there. I swear
careful.
To God, I almost said,
it's been a long weekend.
I am so tired of this whole thing. I want to go back to this idea of what is right and what is wrong and what is fact. And until we can get back on a paying concern that way, I think we're going to be in trouble here. And we're throwing in, in the meantime, while all this is going on, we're doing things that I can promise you that Americans outside the coal industry do not want coal emissions deregulated. I don't think they do. I can say that some of the water regulations that are being and air regulations are being rolled back. Remember, the president goes, "I just want good air and water." Okay, well, you're not showing that, because what they're doing is they're rolling back all this stuff. And then we can argue about climate change all we want, but it's happening, and the Earth has to, we on the Earth have to do something about it. In the meantime, to throw in with the Russians. And the Saudis? And the Kuwaitis? And we're the only people on the planet? I mean, nobody else. China is like, we'll do what we can. I know we're big cheaters, but at least we're going to say the right thing.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays into this presidential election, because all the Republicans in Congress who believed in climate change have been defeated. So they're not in power anymore, and they're not, the conference has become more sort of climate denying and more Trumpian, the House Republican conference in particular. So that'll be interesting. But I think in the polling and stuff, there's more acceptance of climate change and the need to do something about it. And I don't think any Democrat will get the nomination without pushing a climate agenda. So it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of a conversation opens up, and Trump's resistance to it, and where that goes in the polls.
With the Mueller report, if it is sort of the worst-case scenario for the president, obstruction of justice or something like that, AB, do you think that Democrats will move forward with some sort of impeachment? What do you think the political way will be in terms of a response to that?
You know, it's such a good question, and my answer is what it has been all along, which is the only bulwark we have left are Republicans in Congress. And if they fail, if they don't move back to what Roe's describing, facts and truth and right and wrong, they'll kill off their party, and they'll leave us in this kind of more lawless, destructive state, because Democrats really don't want to impeach the president, even in the worst case scenario Mueller report, without Republicans.
Right.
And so it really, yeah. The burden has been on them for a year and a half or 2 years. I've had conversations with them. They want to avoid it. The voters love him. My family loves him. What are we going to do, AB? And it's always been, let's just stick by him. And so if they find something that would otherwise be an indictable, crime for us civilians like you and me, mm-hmm. and Republicans say, no, I'm not going to impeach him, we're at a weird place. It's just going to be really weird. And we don't know that those crimes will be found, that evidence of crimes will be found. But
yeah,
if they are, it's on Republicans.
Yeah, I know we do. I mean, I think we just all need to start telling the truth here. It's very clear what happened here. It's really, really clear.
We do know that he's obstructed justice, and we do know he's directed two felonies.
Yes.
So that's what we know as of today.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, AB. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you so much.
Goodbye, A.B. Stoddard. Do you know her? You love her. You read her from realclearpolitics.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Judy, what's happening at the top of the hour?
Another cold weather-related death in the Chicago area.
That is some of the first Roel audio right there.
Ides of March, da 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 da. couldn't get that out of my head all night. That was, they were awesome.
Yeah, and that was from Friday, and the Ides of March are going to be doing their Christmas show this fall. If you want to relive some of that, on Saturday night at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles, the Ides of March are taking the stage, and you get your tickets there at ArcataLive.com. I've never seen moves like Tom Skilling has.
Are a dancer, Tom.
Oh,
it was awesome.
You know, that was such fun. I've been humming a vehicle all weekend long. Just like you have, man. Wasn't that fun? And you know what? Those guys are so nice. They really are. Do you know they were over here on the morning show this morning, I guess, and they dropped off a little package here of their CDs and everything else, which was really fun. But I'm telling you, Ro, you certainly have connections, to have the Ides of March
things happen.
Yeah.
Make things happen, all right.
That was wonderful.
some are good, and some are bad.
I'll tell you something. Do we have wonderful listeners or what?
Well, the numbers are in.
Yeah, let's hear them.
Let's just do this again. 1,600 toys and raised over $5,000.
That's amazing.
In cash that day was raised. And it was a, I was hoping, I was really, really, really hoping that we would just kind of do, 1,100 people were in attendance at one point or another during that.
Not hard to believe, having been there.
And that room does not hold 300 people.
So, I know.
And I guess I need to say this because I know that there are some people who, we did our best. I know there were some lines to get in, and we, did our best to move people around. And we also had a section for the sponsors upstairs that had some room in it. We moved our listeners up into that, and then they got to get drunk with the sponsors, which is fun.
Yeah.
And there was... there was a lot going on, and I just want to thank everybody who came out and the people who stood out.
True.
It was pretty cold. People stood out there for, in some cases, up to like half an hour to get in with their toys, and it means so much. I know to the Marine Corps Reserve Toys for Tots program. They did say it's the largest haul they have had this entire season.
That
is single
amazing.
Largest haul. How about that? At one location. I mean, amazing.
Spectacular. Everybody had something in their arms. There was one fellow who had these two giant dogs. What would you call them? They were like stuffed animals, and I'm surprised he could carry them.
Are you talking about the life-size bear? It was like 6 feet tall or something?
Two of them.
Oh, I didn't know he brought two.
Yeah, he had one in each arm, and you walked in there, everybody had a smile on their face and all, and it was cold, no question. But what a nice group! It was just tremendous, and that Carnauba wagon was something else. I mean, that's a collector's item there from the Smith Furniture folks.
Right. Yeah. Congrats to Jim and Addison. Remember, you made him take the oath that he would use the Carnauba wagon.
For good and not evil.
Yeah.
Fridays for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. And this was a thrill. I mean, not only did I meet the Ides of March and work with you guys, not over a phone line, as we do every day, but also to see a real-life Carnauba wagon.
Yes.
I had never seen one before.
This was the Walter E. Smith sisters came out. They rolled out this beautiful Carnauba wagon.
Yeah.
It's kind of a postmodern number, or modernist number. It was chrome with some mirrors on and stuff.
Beautiful.
Very Mad Men.
Very Mad Men.
Oh, yes.
You could see it in Don Draper's office. And they rolled it out with the proper amount of drinks on it. And then we gave it away to a lucky listener in the crowd.
It was marvelous.
And it was great.
He seemed so thrilled.
The whole team was great. I'll tell you, Anna, you were fabulous.
We had fun dancing and singing
Kevin,
up there.
Yeah, and Richard Roper, I thought, was particularly effective as we were singing with the Ides of March. Think so?
Tom, I brought some family friends and to backstage, and you were nice enough to take some pictures.
Oh.
I thought they were going to faint. They were trembling.
Well,
there were tears coming down their face. They were so happy to meet Tom Skilling.
I can see why you're the nice guy you are, because what a lovely family you have. It was nice meeting everybody.
Yeah. I think all 1,100 people got their picture with you, Tom. At one point, we're like, is he okay? Everybody has asked you for a picture or a selfie or something, and you were just so gracious.
Can you imagine mention the number of phones that have been seriously damaged, you know, and that whole exercise right there.
Tom, I'm going to lock you down right now to next year's second
you
row.
You got it, Ro.
All right.
You got it. I'll tell you, we
I'll work
we
it out with your boss.
Time. Sure.
I got
hey, you've got the inside
down.
Track. Yeah. You know, people listen around here to Ro Khan.
They apparently do.
When those emails come in from Ro, you know, I mean, it's like, move
do
aside.
What he asks.
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's you got that impact, that power. Yeah. And then the boss showed up. We saw Mr. Rennie. He was there, and that was really cool that he came as well.
Paul Rennie, we've had some amazing general managers over here, and I'm not just saying that. We really have had a remarkable group of people, but Paul is right up there with him. Everybody loves him.
Mm-hmm. Down to earth.
Yeah, he is. Cool. He's a nice guy. He told me he was going to show up. He did.
He did.
Do you know who else was there? And I don't know whether you saw it, Ro, but Mr. Cochran put in an appearance.
I thought he was Santa Claus, and it turns out he took his head off, and he was actually Steve Cochran.
He was bad Santa.
I know.
Yeah, what about that? That was really, you know, that's the middle of the night for him, right?
Yeah.
So that was so, it was really nice.
Wasn't that nice?
Be part of it, yeah.
Steve was there. I turned around, I felt this tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and who's standing there but Steve Cochran? And, you know, I just love Steve. I met Steve's sister in, back when Dominic's was here. I was shopping in my neighborhood, Dominic's, and this lady came up to me and said, "You work with my brother." And I said, "Oh, really?" And she said, "Steve Cochran." I said, "You've got to be kidding." This was Steve's sister, and we had a lovely conversation. But there's a nice family, too.
Yeah, and he brought some of the family with him, and it was really great. Yeah. And, you know, we got him a costume that's hot and stinky, and some guy had thrown up in earlier in the day. And the next thing,
it was super stinky.
By the way,
I left my coat there. You know, you guys arranged a ride for me. We got about 20 minutes away, and I thought, I don't have my coat. So we turned around, went back. The poor fellow was driving. He was such a nice guy. So we went back there, and it was gone. And I thought, well, that's that. But I think Kevin picked it up, and it's here in the office today. So thank you for saving.
We had our people drop it off to you.
Where'd you find it, Kevin? Was it like
I can't take credit for all that, but it was in our green room.
I think it was Jeffrey. Did Jeffrey do it? Maybe Jeff did it. Jeff Carlin.
I remember holding it up, being like, "Whose jacket is this?"
Oh.
And then I think I just threw it in the pile with the rest of the jackets.
Well, you guys discovered something about me. I leave a trail of debris.
You do.
I crack phone cameras, and I also leave a trail of debris.
No, but you also left your jacket behind at my parents' restaurant.
That's
and you left
right.
a voicemail the next day.
He likes
day.
To leave clothes. That's just what he does.
Gosh,
you know what he does?
I forgot about that.
He leaves clothes so he can come back.
It's
that's how he does
see?
It.
That's
yeah.
it.
Drop
on
that
shit.
Tom, I have a picture surfaced. So I think my brother took it. He sent it to me the other night, and it's the popularity of Tom Skilling. There's a picture, because remember, the real Santa Claus was there as well. And he was sitting in a chair, you know, hanging out, shaking hands, taking pictures. And there's a picture of Santa in his chair all alone. And to the left, there's a big mob of about 20 people all around Tom Skilling. Skilling with like 20 listeners around him, and then Santa all alone. It's kind of a sad picture, but it shows you the popularity of Tom Skilling.
Right. You guys, I think, exaggerate that a little bit. What a nice Santa. He said to me, "I remember you as a boy when you came in to see me." And I said, "Well, Santa, I won't sit in your lap today." He says, I said, "I'd do serious damage if I sat." He said, "Look," he said, "I've had people bigger than you sit in my lap." So he was a nice. Do you know that he was at the White House for 4 years, he told me?
Well, because he's Santa.
Yeah.
Santa.
That's why. Santa,
yeah.
If you don't have a Santa at the White House.
I know.
And then the war was declared on Christmas, and then he was excommunicated.
He was gone for a while.
He was living in hiding. Hey, what?
So that's why it was only 4 years.
Right.
I do have to ask you, you did get the coat back, right?
Oh, I did.
Okay, good. All right.
It's right here.
Okay, good. We have a show mother that handles all of this for us. Mm-hmm. You know, like every almost like a den mother, like for a Cub Scout troop or a fraternity
right.
where they've
yeah.
got
a
person,
house mom.
A house mom. We have somebody who works on this show
sure
who is does all of this stuff.
She's
for all
amazing.
Of our like sort of external things.
Yes,
and it is, and without her we would get nothing done.
No,
so
that's
do you
true.
Know? Not only was it, they apparently sent it out and had it claimed. Or something. How did they do
yeah,
that?
She went and had it pressed. It was the most amazing thing. She called me this morning, and She was like, all right, well, we've got Tom saying I need to get it there. And then I talked to Jeff. We all decided where you were going to be. But then she goes, well, I took it to the dry cleaner and I had it pressed. And I'm like,
oh, sweet.
Okay.
You know what? I can't get things clean that fast on my own.
You cannot have her number.
No.
I'll tell you right now.
I need it. I've got to get that.
She is the most indispensable person in our orbit here on the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah, we're keeping her a big secret because she handles everything for us.
I've got to do some research on that. I've got to get Ben Bradley in our WGN investigative unit to find out, just how in the world I send a thank you note along,
Right. You could probably use someone like that in the Weather Center, to have somebody just handle all that stuff for you.
Absolutely.
All right, she's calling ringing. Right now. She's calling right now.
I'm available, Tom, for the right number.
Exactly.
I'll leave them in a second.
Pay me more than guys.
This is one of these marketing calls again. I'm telling you, this phone rings from one end of the day to the other. I'm sorry about that. I thought I had silenced it. But, that was a lot of fun on Friday. Thank you for inviting me. Can I ask you a question?
You were the hit. Thank you so much for doing it. We would not have gotten the crowds or the toys without you.
Oh, nonsense. I tell you, Ro, it was fun.
Let me ask you a question, as we like to say. Did you say snow on Wednesday?
Yeah. You know what? It's funny. We're going to a milder pattern. Snow or a wintry mix. You know, the temperatures are so marginal that we could get a dusting or a light covering. But by and large, 12 of the next 14 days are going to average above normal. Now, we've been saying right along, this is not going to be a heat wave. And there may be some ups and downs during that period. But by and large, we're getting out of this deep freeze we've been in. 8 days in a row, we've gone below normal. And by the way, we've made up ground on our sunshine. I mean, it's really incredible. We had 3% of our possible December sun last week. And with all these nice days we put together, we now have 45% of our possible sun going. 41 is typical. And another thing, too, did you see... maybe you didn't, but the hoar frost this morning, the frost that...
I'm sorry, what?
It's called hoar frost, and it's the product of ice fog in the morning that sends these beautiful ice crystals on all the trees. It turns everything into a winter wonderland.
Did we have that last night, Tom? Because I left Soldier Field. My car looked like it had a sheet of ice just all around it.
That's it, Kevin.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
That's it. And it's beautiful when you see it out in the country and all, because it coats all the trees and everything outside. Mm-hmm. So it's quite a scene.
It seems cold.
It is cold. Oh, I tell you, this has been very chilly. No question about it.
Yeah.
Do you know that North American snow coverage in November was the greatest since the advent of satellite imagery? And before somebody starts saying, well, what happened to global warming? It's warm all over the place. They haven't had the normal amount of snow in Alaska and Europe and over most of the... We just happen to be in the cold spot here. So it's quite interesting, but that's part of the reason we've been so chilly.
I know we had some friends that had a wedding in the Southeast.
Oh, yeah.
Over the weekend.
Big snow.
It was an outdoor wedding.
Oh no!
It was an ice storm where they were.
Oh wow!
As a result of it, and it was like you feel bad, right?
I know
for people that have been planning it for a year, and then all of a sudden you think, well, December in South Carolina, what could possibly go wrong? Well,
I know,
found out.
Can you imagine what those people have been through? They've had Florence, they had the remnants of Michael go through, each with flooding, and now they've had this record early snow and some and ice, as you say, Ro, in some places. Crazy. So it's been crazy.
It's crazy. I'm hoping that we got an omega block or something, right? We got some sort of a problem.
We've got a different pattern now. So the flow will come more often, at least for the next couple of weeks, in from the west.
Okay, we'll take that. Pacific air. I like a little
There's
Pacific
some signs it goes back cold again for a time in January, but our U.S. model says it'll warm up again later in the month.
Oh, I love her. All right, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
She's very nice. She's she speaks highly of you,
Thank
too.
You very much. I hope so. I'm sweet on her. All right, thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom. See you guys. Thanks for being part of the first row.
And I had fun working with you guys. Happy Monday, everybody.
Thank you, sir. Judy Pilak, what's coming up in the bottom of the hour news?
The teacher strike in Geneva is over.
Well, it doesn't get any better than this. I'd like to quote the wise sage Ed Obradovich, if I just might, for a moment.
Please do.
Last week, Ed was on the program and he said, you know, this is the kind of game, a game against the best team in the NFL that a team gets up for. And you learn a lot about a team, said the wise sage Ed Obradovich. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot about yourself. And it's the kind of game that when you're a team that is on the ascendancy, that is on the rise, that wants to be seen as the best, you got to beat the best to be the best. And is that what happened last night? Ed Obradovich!
That's exactly what happened, you know. I had a great feeling that they would win this game. But during the course of the game, Ro, and Kevin, I tell you some astonishing things that happened in this game. And I really don't know where to start. But first of all, again, congratulations to the Bears. And the number one thing that jumped out at me last night was our offensive line. I looked at the great Dan Hampton and told him, I said, hey, buddy, you see these five kids? I mean, they're clawing and fighting and pushing, and they went up probably at once, maybe if not the best defensive line, maybe they either 1-2, certainly no more than 3. They've got a great defense, and those five kids up front answered the bell. They took them on, and they took them down. And I was totally and completely impressed with what they did. They met the challenge. And I think that's where the game was. Defensively, the rest of it, you know, we always talk about Mac, how great he is and everything. But when you watch the game last night, you know, if he comes, even if he gets double teamed on the outside, okay, that one time where he broke the seam right at the end of the pass rush and he put his arm and knocked the ball out, you know why that happened? Because our inside guys totally and completely all night long, if you watch the game, totally caved in the middle of the Rams offensive line. Goff had nowhere to go. Our defensive guys on the outside rushed from the outside, and between Goldman and Hicks, and I mean, they brought it. I was so proud of the Bears last night to see them meet the challenge and to find out exactly who the hell they are. And I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, they met the test. They really did.
Matt Nagy, Matt, and I'm glad to hear you say that because I think they really did too. And I think Chicago Bears fans, this is the biggest win I've seen the Bears have since the 80s.
My God, are you kidding me? It's been so sad around here year after year. We've heard every excuse, everything from these coaches and general managers we've had. It's just, I tell you, it's disgusting as far as I'm concerned. And I'm glad, hopefully, that is over with. But I'll tell you, the one kid that continues to absolutely amaze me is this kid, Mitch Trubisky, our quarterback. I don't know how you could throw 30 passes and complete 16, 3 interceptions, and throw in 4 quarters of football for a total of 100 yards. That's impossible. That can't happen. You throw for a net yardage of 100 yards, 3 interceptions, you miss fire on what? I don't know, half of your passes? And I can guarantee you this. If we weren't winning the way we're winning, in other words, if we're not in that 9 victory area, if we got 4 victories, 3, whatever, if we're having a real bad year, this kid would be close to being run out of town.
Yeah. Well,
that's just the way I see it.
I think that's the one thing.
Unbelievable, Ro. How does this kid throws it in the ground, fires it 10 feet over their head, and it goes game to game to game. And he's slipping by because guess what? We're winning.
Well, right. I think that's the point. that's the issue. I mean, I just imagine, I don't want to do comparatives right now. All I wonder is if they need somebody else in his ear that's going to help him understand the mechanics of this. Because the one thing that he does provide, and a little bit less last night, because you do have that crazy defensive line, you got Ndamukong Suh as the maybe the second or third best guy on their defensive line, which is pretty crazy. So you, and that was a very tough defensive line. But you do have the one thing with Trubisky is when he's able to get free and run the ball, it also loosens up the coverage in the pocket for him on the next play. This was not the case last night, and
well,
it was.
Here, Ro, let me tell you something. Do you realize we had the ball somewhere around 14 more minutes than the Rams? You're talking about almost a full quarter. And we put up 15 points? And Trubisky did what he did with three interceptions, passing for 100 yards, and we had 14 more, approximately 14 more points, excuse me, 14 more minutes than the Rams? And we put up 15 points? That's the second or third time that's happened this year. It's alarming. But then again, Anna, it's a magical year. I'm telling you.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, and you saw it. You turned non-believers into believers on that game. It was exciting to watch. It was fun. And the question going in, OB, was could the Bears score enough to beat the Rams? And it was interesting because they held them to two field goals, just 6 points. And it's so remarkable. It was so fun to watch that in action. And I guess my question to you would be, how far can you go with this defense as you now start to look ahead to the teams that are becoming the teams they'll likely face as they move toward the playoffs?
New Orleans.
Yeah, well, there's good. Watch out for them. But anyway, I think what's just been happening from week to week, and I could never believe in today's game, the way the rules are, that maybe just now as we're watching it unfold, could defense possibly win you a Super Bowl? And I'm starting to think about that. I really am. Because mm-hmm. we took a team that was high-flying. What were they, 11-1 coming in here? They should have came here and mopped this team up, and they didn't. Guess who got mopped up? They got mopped up. And I'm going to go back again to the opening volley when I started. The guys that made it happen, that I saw that jumped out at me, was our offensive line. If they gave a game ball, they should have gave five game balls to every one of those guys in the offensive line because they took down a formidable foe, more than a formidable foe.
Oh, yeah, one of the best.
You bet.
Hey, OB, I'm so happy you mentioned the offensive line because Aaron Donald came into this game with 16.5 sacks. Some thought he could get to Michael Strahan's record sack total, but I completely agree. The interior, and James Daniels, the rookie, had to go head-to-head with Aaron Donald, and he stood his ground. I also think Matt Nagy needs some credit here. He probably, in my book, OB, should be the front lead candidate for NFL Coach of the Year. And I also think Ryan Pace should be the front lead candidate for NFL Executive of the Year.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Because, why would you say that in front of Ed Obradovich? Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, good God. Look at this team they've built. This is incredible. I mean, that's the defense has almost zero holes to it. And, I mean, look, James Daniels is a rookie. Ryan Pace drafted him, and Daniels has stood his ground against Aaron Donald. And I thought Nagy outcoached Sean McVay, who's supposed to be the, you know, this top bright mind 32-year-old. And
I think there's exactly some validity, no question about, in what you're saying. But when you look at McVay, their head coach, I guess he just turned 31, 32, or whatever. Well, whatever it is, he's really young. But anyway, they've been high-flying, doing everything. When you sit there, now after that first quarter, you kind of collect yourself as coaches, the guys up in the box, and you talk real quick back and forth. Did you notice we were on top of him, smothered him for four quarters, and only one time, late in the third quarter, did they pull a bootleg. They never moved the pocket, never tried a sprint out, a bootleg, and we came after their quarterback and crushed him. He had nowhere to go, nowhere to run. We forced it up the middle, came from the outside, and it was just great. And so I'm sitting there with Dan thinking, what the hell is this coach thinking about? He's getting killed here. Move the pocket. Get out of there. He didn't do it.
Doesn't it remind you, it reminds me so much of the mid-80s, of that 84 and 85 and even 86 team defensively, because you used to enjoy it. It wasn't so much that you'd see the offense on the field, especially after Walter retired, but the offense was the secondary show. The best show was the defense, and it reminded me of the time of 85, of December of, or January of 86, when the L.A. Rams back, you know, one of their last years in Los Angeles, were here for the NFC Championship game and got mauled by the defense in a very cold snow. I was at that game. I remember it started snowing in the crowd. You know, when it snows here, the crowd goes nuts.
They were
right?
Crazy.
And
yeah.
and it was a sunny day and it was snowing, which meant that God knew that, you know, we knew that God was going to make us the Super Bowl champions. That's what we knew at that moment.
Did. Absolutely.
But it's so much more like that now. And you know, you just hope that Callahan's going to be okay, right? And
yeah. What injury?
But yeah, so far, I mean, this team has been. This defense is as good as we've seen in this town.
Let me just tell you something about a foot injury. A foot injury, first they said it would, you know, well, they're going to look at it, you know, he might be able to play, and then come out, they said, no, he's not. A foot injury sometimes can be a season and a career-ending injury. And it really can, because when you're a defensive back, obviously, what do you got? You know where the offensive guy is going, and so you got to react in a half a millionth of a second, and that means you got to have that foot plan. You got to go real quick and fast. And I didn't really want to hear that, because that kid's been having a great year. Damn. And again, to go back, I think this, and I told you that this is going to tell the Bears just exactly where they're at. Okay? And what needs to be done here in the next three football games? You got Green Bay coming in here, yeah. All right? And I can tell you this right now. Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay, they're not coming in here to lay down and get slapped around. They're going to come, that ball's going to be flying in the air. And hopefully our guys will be ready. But if I could say it one more time, I love what I saw last night. That's what a player lives for, that game, mm-hmm. that time, and guess what? They stood up and they took a great team down. They took them right down to the ground. And you know what? Too bad for the guys from L.A. Never did like them anyway.
Right. And Chicago Goff, Bear weather. I mean, I'm sorry, but the weather does make a difference. Helps. In a game like that. And even though the Bears get to practice in the cold, they don't really play. And nobody likes cold.
You know, hold on a second here. That was roughly about 20 degrees, 22 degrees. You can play in that, okay? When you get around zero, okay? Around zero, and usually if you get to zero, usually the chill factor is like 5, 7, 10, 12, 50, and under. That makes a difference. That's no excuse for the Rams. What, like every one of them grew up in Mexico and Southern California and Florida? None of them played in cold water? Cold weather? Ah. Come on.
Okay. It's once you go to L.A., you get soft.
Backside-handed to him. That's it.
All right.
Thanks, OB. I love all this. I love that. I get so fired up. I love it.
All right, OB, we'll talk to you later. Go Bears!
Thanks, OB.
Bye, honey.
Mike, bye.
Right now. Caller number 19, 312-981-7200, rips us off for a pair of Hawks tickets to go see him take on the Jets on Friday, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find him online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or listen for your chance to win tickets all regular season long. Let's check in with Judy. What's happening in the newsroom?
A tragic murder in Indiana involving a pregnant teen.
CNN's Ryan Nobles joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, 7:10. He'll check in from North Carolina, talk politics and the ongoing election mess there as well.
Okay. All right. And if you did enjoy the show on Friday and you want to see the Ides of March live at the Arcata Theater coming your way on Saturday, you might want to do that for their Christmas show. They got all kinds of special guests, really fun stuff. Ides of March live at the Arcata Theater on Saturday. ArcataLive.com is the website for that.
They're so great live. I mean, something to behold. You know, at the first Rowell on Friday, it's like they rolled with everything going on, you know, just everything. They're out in the crowd. You had Jim Peterik just like jamming with people and had a blast.
Yeah. He's got just a hat. He's got
hats.
Purple hair.
He looks like a rock star.
He's got the Mad Hatter.
Skilling, Peterik, and Roper all jamming together on the front of the stage. I'm like,
vision.
Just get more Chicago than this. This is amazing.
I know.
That is true. That is really true. There is nothing more Chicago than that event. I am very, very proud
totally.
Of that. Because we do, it's got that complete feeling. And if you're not from Chicago and you don't understand it, you know what you can go do with yourself.
Right.
What can you do with yourself?
And
I am obsessed with Jim's purple hair.
Yes, we all are.
Spot on.
Prematurely purple. I have no idea how he gets it that purple, but it is that purple. All right. Maybe natural. We have got Judy Pilak standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with the news in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Thanks again to everybody who came out for the first Roel. It was a blast and raised a ton for Toys for Tots. Was it the single largest collection point of the season for Toys for Tots in our area?
How about that? Congratulations to everybody who came out. You made history for this year.
Yes.
That is
all those toys stay local and some kids across the area are going to be really happy.
Unless I challenge right now.
Okay.
On behalf
Here we
of
go.
The Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis, on behalf
yep.
of Judy Pilak, as she retires from WGN, on behalf of Kevin Powell, as I don't know what he does. And on behalf of Violetta, who makes all American corporations sound like Central European nations, I challenge you to outdo us for Toys for Tots. I want to see some company, I want to see some individual or industry or an event outraise us.
Yes.
1,600 toys. I want to see somebody beat that before the 15th, which is their last day.
Come on, Sylvania. Step up.
Sylvania is what you called
Come on, the country.
The light bulb company.
Very different. We got it. You got it.
Anyway.
Kim Ronald.
You know what I'm saying here.
We do.
And you know what? And we will give you as many props as we give ourselves. And that's hard to believe.
That's almost impossible.
Well, we would take credit for that too because you challenged them.
Right. Well, yes, exactly right. But that's no matter what, the glory is conferred. I just want them to be. I don't want a kid this year who doesn't have to go without a toy or toys to have to go without in the Chicago area.
No, that's right. And they said that there is a lot of need this year and that they had been contacted by hundreds of families through the social service or agencies that help identify families that might need their help. And there's a lot of need. So, you know.
There you go.
Can't give enough.
All right. There you go. And thank you to everybody who came out on Friday. It really means the world.
Oh, it was a blast.
And you know what it's time for?
We do.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Oh, my God. This is not in the top five at five, but
no.
I just noticed that the story that the president tweeted that there's no smocking gun in the Russian probe.
Twitter needs to get a spell check, I think, just for the president.
Should he just put... Well, it's on your phone. He should put that on his phone. Never played this. I had no idea there was a drum fill here.
Never got this far? Along?
Never got this far.
Kind of cool, this little part.
Checking in at...
Number five.
Hickenlooper!
We remember him.
Governor Hickenlooper... And now, why did he come to prominence? He's the former governor of Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided that they elected him Colorado because of recreational marijuana. Because the stoners thought it. When you say Hickenlooper when you're stoned, it actually makes your brain buzz.
It sounds kind of funny.
Hickenlooper. Governor... John Hickenlooper says he's moving closer to deciding to run for president.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being you're running, how close are you?
You know, I'd say we're past 50-50. I think we're probably 63, 64%, 6.4, 6.5.
You're at a 7.
Yeah, maybe not quite, but getting there.
Yeah.
Dude, that's my favorite number, man.
I'm like at 64%.
420%.
Oh, 420.
Good one.
Heckenlooper.
You think Bernie had a lot of young voters following him? This guy, I don't know. He might be able to track that out.
He's half of Bernie's age, and he's still 60.
Oh, my God. My friends I know in Colorado are just like, they're total hippies. They love Bernie Sanders. They love that whole steadle scene with these guys.
Do they like the Heckenlooper?
I'm sure they do.
Well, here's the Heckenlooper's strategy for beating Donald Trump.
It's funny. He's a big presence in the room, but it's all based around a bluster. And really, in a basic way, he's kind of a bully. I mean, you step back and look at him, and you know, you grow up a skinny kid with thick glasses with a name like Heckenlooper. I grew up dealing with bullies on the playground. And it's not that hard, right? A, you don't give them the attention. You ignore them. And when they say something that's directly antagonistic in some way, you twist it just a little bit so they become the butt of their own attack. In other words, you use humor to marginalize them. You know, people don't pay attention to a bully. They get frustrated and go away.
Okay, right. Because he's going to go away. Because Donald Trump has gone away.
Yeah, that's going to work.
This is not a strategy. This is a stoner strategy.
This is easy pickings for Trump.
I'm just going to ignore him and get stabbed.
Peace and love, bro. Ah,
people will understand me.
Peace, man.
Heckenlooper.
I think it kind of made sense.
Imagine the campaign ads. Exactly. Remarkable. You could voice them for him, bro.
Smoking machine around him.
Like you and Kevin
like
can do it.
Like a Snoop Dogg video. You know where it opens up and it's out of out of like haze of smoke? That is what it's going to be like.
Here I am.
Yeah.
Heckenlooper.
Looper. Okay. We wish everybody the best. All right, here we go. Checking in at
number four.
All right, so former FBI Director James Comey sat down at a fundraiser last night in New York for the 92nd Street Y. Who knew? Why? Because he was there. And Nicole Wallace, who's now at MSNBC, sat down and interviewed him. And he talked about the legal jeopardy that the president might be in over the Michael Cohen campaign finance violations.
Is the president of the United States right now an unindicted co-conspirator?
I don't know. Not in the formal sense that he's been named in an indictment where you can actually say that this defendant and named others or others by pseudonym conspired together, and that's how you formally name someone as an unindicted co-conspirator. But if he's not there, he's certainly close, given the language in the indictment, in the filing, that the crimes were committed at his direction.
That brings us back to the smoking gun tweet from the president, because it was related to James Comey's testimony. No smoking gun, no collusion. Democrats can't find a smoking gun, he says on second reference.
You got nothing on me, copper. That's what it sounds like, right? I mean, that's when they bring the guy. You got nothing. All right, no smoking gun, because I'm that good. I get around you. Okay, I mean when your best defense is there's no smoking gun, that means that they've established everything else, all the circumstance. You only use the no smoking gun analogy when there's nothing but a mountain of circumstantial evidence surrounding you.
Right, it's like saying the glove doesn't fit.
Right, it's not. This is not like. Well, they don't have anything. I mean, what are they proving here? No, they got 16 now. 16 people who had contact with the Russians who were working for either the Trump campaign or the Trump transition. 16. 16. Twice 8.
Careful, they don't get too deep
times
in the math.
4.
That works.
All right. Please. This is not like, I ain't no smoking gun. How do you spell smoking? I don't smoke. That's why I don't know how to spell it. Can somebody just please, can just Mike Pence, I'll tell you, we'll just cut him a deal right now.
Okay.
Resign. Mike Pence becomes president. He will, he'll pardon you for all crimes before and after, and you can go run your company again. And avoid taxes, if you'd like. Just go away.
I don't think he'd take that deal.
It's the best. It's my first, last, and best offer to him. All right. Let us now check in with Judy. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Drivers going nowhere fast in the South.
Watch Micah and Joe, Micah Mater and Joe Donlin weeknights on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
All right, kids. Top 5-5 continues. We've worked our way up to
number 3.
Ariana Grande took to the stage to accept the Woman of the Year award at Billboard Women in Music. She admitted that she felt completely undeserving of the Woman of the Year title due to, well, her public breakup with Pete Davidson.
That I find it interesting that this has been one of, like, the best years of my career and, like, the worst of my life. I'm not saying that for sympathy. I'm just saying that because I feel like a lot of people would look at someone in my position right now, I guess, like Woman of the Year, an artist that could be at her peak, like reaching her, you know, whatever, and think she's really got her shit together, you know? Like, she's really on it. Like, she's got it all. And I do, but I, as far as, like, my personal life goes, I really have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
Well said.
That's pretty real, isn't it, to think that she's just being honest. I got this life thing. It's not going, I don't really know what I'm doing, but career is going great. And I don't know what I'm doing. I think that she's more relatable than you think.
I totally understand.
I look forward to hopefully learning to give some of the love and forgiveness that I've given away so frivolously and easily to men in the past, to myself, hopefully, this year. Thank you. And, I have everything I've ever dreamt of having. And as of late, I've discovered that it's the things I've always had and the people I've always had that still make me the happiest. So thank you so much. This is really cool. Mm-hmm. Ew, I'm crying.
Ew. You should have just stopped at ew. I was good to go.
Hey, ew, why did you think that was ew?
The whole thing is so it's self-aggrandizing for Ariana Grande. It's like
she's 25. She's totally trying to figure stuff out. She's got this incredible career success, but you know, life hasn't been going the way she wants it to.
But she thought getting engaged to Pete Davidson
was a good idea.
Was a good idea after two dates.
She's 25.
Okay. Kids,
tattoos
these days.
Are a bad idea too. I thought.
What were a bad idea?
Tattoos. That was probably.
Yeah.
Bad idea too.
Well, they're all working very hard. They're putting the tattoo removal industry literally. If you look at the stock market, nothing but tattoo removal stocks way up.
Only thing doing well.
Yeah. All right. Checking in at
number 2. You can go your own way.
It came as a shock to a lot of fans, but earlier this year, Fleetwood Mac fired Lindsey Buckingham, key member, guitarist, you know, one of the founding members. Then Buckingham sued. So in his first television interview with CBS since being ousted, he reveals that he and the band have said at least settled the lawsuit.
I'm happy enough with it. I'm not out there trying to twist the knife at all. I'm trying to look at this with some level of compassion, some level of wisdom.
But do you feel like you've been kicked out of the family?
I do, but I don't feel that it was something that was my doing.
But that's got to hurt.
It hurt for a while. I did walk around for a few months with a very visceral reaction to that.
But he's got a lot of dough to sit on to help him get through it all.
I want to point out, Lindsey Buckingham is close to 70 probably now. Mm-hmm. Ariana Grande is 25.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to say to Ariana Grande, you have 45 more years of being confused on your to go. Because Lindsey Buckingham has proved that even though you may have aged, you still have no freaking clue what you're doing. What about the day you were fired, Lindsey Buckingham?
Irving Azoff called me up, and he was basically screaming at me.
He was screaming at you?
He was screaming at me on the phone, saying, "You've really done it this time." And I had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
He said, "Stevie never wants to be on stage with you ever again." And I'm going, "Why?" It appeared to me that she was looking for something to hang on me in order to instigate some kind of a coup.
Cut it out. Just stop it. I don't care about Lindsey. You know, talk about a coup. I mean, the world's on fire. And Lindsey Buckingham is worried that he's not going to go on tour with a bunch of other octogenarians.
And so he had to accept $12 to $14 million so that he didn't go on tour, to not tour.
Oh, God.
I don't know.
Number one.
Saturday Night Live, it hasn't been particularly great over the last couple of weeks, but I will tell you this. that their empire send up of the Trump family is like, what if the Trump family were black, them Trumps, and they gave them the empire from Fox, that TV show, the treatment?
Sir, they know everything. They know about Russia. They know you used campaign money to cover up an affair with Magic City stripper Cinnamon Mercedes. And they know about the pyramid scheme you've been running through your company, Darius Trump Country Hams.
Yeah. Maybe I done some dirty thing, but I'm making America great again. And what these feds don't realize is that I'm the president, the most powerful man in the most respected office in the world. They can't lock me up. And even though I may be black,
free Trump, you're under arrest.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
So much truth in it. So you've been talking about if the Obamas did this, or, you know, how would it be perceived? It's pretty funny.
And it was very, very well done. All right, let's close it up.
The top five at five.
All right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you see this story about the woman who wanted to name her child, wait for it, Squire Sebastian Senator? That would be the first name of the child.
Squire Sebastian Senator?
Mm-hmm.
So that there's like a title?
Yep. And she was inviting people to her baby shower, and they said they wouldn't go to her baby shower unless she changed the name of the baby. That the baby's not born yet. But they were not going to give gifts to a child named Squire Sebastian Senator, and that all three names had to, it has to be Squire Sebastian Senator whenever you say the guy.
There'd be no nickname
name.
Or
no shortening, none of that.
Couldn't do Squee, like Kavanaugh's friend.
That
remember?
Actually, might be this. Squee. This might actually be the baby mama of Squee. I don't know.
So, she had to cancel the baby shower.
She did.
Nobody's on board with that. Well, that's bizarre.
She did. So she wrote a letter, an email. Actually, I guess she's not really writing letters. Mm-hmm. She wrote an email to her members of her family and all of those others who were invited to the baby shower, protesting what was going on. And the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis, my arts players, have brought it to audio for you.
Dear members of Squire Sebastian Senator Baby Shower, I have a really important announcement to make. It brings me pain to have to tell you this, but I'm canceling the event. I will text you soon if you're invited to my smaller, more inclusive party. At least here no one will judge me. Why? Why am I doing this? Because y'all been talking shit about my unborn baby. Unborn child. How can you judge an unborn child? What is wrong with you?
Okay, so that's the setup. What is wrong with
but
you?
But the baby really doesn't know if you're there at the shower. Only the mom knows that you're there at the shower.
And the baby is not the one being judged here. It's you, you twit. She continues.
To say this frankly, my friends and family have treated me like total shit. They spread rumors and lies about my child. No, I'm not crazy. No, I'm not mentally unstable. No, I was not drunk when I named my child. His name is Squire Sebastian Senator. That is that. You can't force me to change his name. This is the name I was meant to give him.
I want to say this, that, you know, Violetta is, of course, playing the role of this woman. And I believed in the letter when she said, no, I wasn't drunk when I did this. But then when Violetta actually read it, I thought, well, maybe I should believe that she was drunk. I don't know. I was thrown
and
off.
Also, I don't have a child, just so everybody knows. No, this is not his full name. Squire Sebastian Senator is only his first name. This is how it will be. He will not be allowed to have a nickname. He is to be called by his full and complete first name. I never knew my family could be so judgmental. We come from a long-lasting family of both squires and senators. If you look back at our family tree, the survival of this clan is literally rooted in squiredom.
Is there such a thing as being rooted in squiredom?
I don't think
Can
so.
Can one be rooted in squiredom?
That sounded natural for Violetta as well. The whole judging from her
Very
family
well
part.
Done.
Yeah. We didn't even have to make her work to do this read.
She's like, I totally get it.
Yeah. It's like you wrote it yourself.
We are all related to senators, too. His name conveys power. It conveys wealth. It conveys success. My baby's name will be a revolution. It will push people to question everything. Why name your baby boring, overused names like Joshua, Brian, Sam, Nick, Mark, Bella, Marina? etc. When you can name it something special.
Oh, boy. Well delivered, by the way, Violetta. That was really well done.
My guess is we're not done. My guess is that this is a conversation she will have at some point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I like it, yeah. Well, Joshua, Brian, Sam, Nick, Mark, Bella, or Marina.
I mean, it's hard to follow up Violetta, you know?
That's true. All right, and finally.
Squire Sebastian Senator will live a powerful, wholesome life. His confidence will not diminish simply because his name is out of the ordinary. Instead, he will be extraordinary. F*** you all, fake-ass family. You won't get to be a part of my baby's life, and it's all because you had to judge him.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yep.
Sincerely, Violetta.
It was not me.
I you hit on something, Anna. I think Squire, I mean, his nickname will be Squee.
Squee.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, very popular.
Oh, hey there, Squee. This is hockey.
I hope that Squee.
Oh, sorry.
I hope that Squee and PJ get together and they have a friend. And that friend ends up on the Supreme Court. That is just my most
fervent
hope.
It's a life of privilege, for sure. Ahead of Squee. Squire. Whatever you decide to be called. Because your mom doesn't allow nicknames, but you know he ultimately will. But he can't be in a fraternity without a nickname.
Being nicknamed does stink, though.
Well, you don't got want cute ones like V. People call you
call
V.
Me
I like
Veal.
That.
Like, I don't want to be Veal.
Who calls you Veal?
This girl, Carrie.
This one girl.
She's like, Veal.
Oh my God! This is like we're back in the kitchen now. She's like, I can't. This girl's calling me Veal at school.
Yeah, V Pod, Veal, Veal.
Some of those are endearing, though, aren't
they?
V Pod and
Viv going. Only one person ever called me Viv.
I think the other ones are better.
Remember last month, didn't we have a story with the mom called her kid A, B, C, D, E?
Mm-hmm.
Was it A, B, C, D, F, G, or A, B, C, D?
And a flight attendant laughed or something, and it was a whole thing.
Yeah, the gate agent.
Yeah.
I mean, absidy is kind of...
And I don't think that's how you spell absidy.
And look, all of a sudden she's mad. Because the conversation has turned away from her issue with a bad nickname.
I'm just saying I understand the mother saying, don't give my kid a nickname.
Like, imagine if someone called you Vicky.
Don't go there, Kevin.
Kevin knows what buttons to push.
And they don't even spell Vicky correctly.
Your family calls you that.
Yeah, yeah. My sister gave me that nickname when I was a little kid, and it stuck.
How do they misspell Vicky?
Vicky. Really, since it's a Serbian Vicky, because they're not saying Vicky, they're saying Vicky, it's V-I-K-I, but everybody spells it V-I-C-K-Y, blah, blah, blah.
Again, it's
just
a spelling issue.
Just don't call me Vicky.
It's really...
I'm not a Vicky. I don't seem like a Vicky. When I hear Vicky, I get really annoyed.
Keep going.
Well, I'm just saying, there's a very particular way you want it to be spelled when you have a strange name.
Yeah.
My name, for instance, Violetta, 1T, mm-hmm. Vicky, V-I-K-I.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
yeah.
People don't get it. Nicknames are difficult on people.
Mm-hmm. So you would go with no nickname policy, too.
Yeah. Right. No nickname. Mm-hmm. Squire,
Senator Sebastian.
Sebastian, the whole thing every time.
We need that music readily available for any time Violetta or Vicky goes on a little tangent.
Kevin, that's not funny. Don't call me Vicky. I don't.
She just said no nicknames. Didn't you hear?
Are you not listening to this, Kevin?
I can't believe you actually brought this up on air because Vicky really is a big deal to me.
But that's your name.
No, it's not. Violetta is my name. And in school, I always went by Violetta. So that is what I go through in the real world as my name. My mom, my dad, my grandma, my sister are the only ones that call me Vicky. And occasionally, Jeff, our producer.
So wait, your entire family that really named
you? The people that know you?
Mm-hmm.
Vicky. People that have seen your birth certificate?
Embrace it.
What about your grandmother? Does she call you Vicky?
She calls me Vicky.
Uh-huh.
Vicky.
And
it's better. It's better if she does it with an accent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it.
Is it Slavicky?
Okay. I just want to ask this question.
Okay.
Don't call me Vicky.
No, I'm not going to. What would be your preferred nickname if you could choose one?
Well, Viv, but that doesn't really sound like.
It never took off.
I mean, Violetta is a nice name, so I don't know.
America rejected Viv a long time ago.
I just like V. People call me V.
Just call me V. It's very, but it's also spelled V-E-E when you say it, so.
Yeah. It's spelled V-E-E when you say it.
Yeah.
Because I always think about the spelling of a word when I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Okay. If I...
What's on your birth certificate?
Violetta Podramatic.
So why does your whole family call you Vicky?
Okay, it's because Violetta is a very nice name.
So your sister was jealous.
And my sister was jealous because her name is Brenda, which there's nothing wrong with Brenda, but just...
The way you said it made it sound like maybe there is.
Well, most people would be like, oh, Violetta, what a beautiful name. And my sister's like, actually, her name's Vicky.
Because she was jealous of your name.
I mean, I think so. I didn't pick it. She didn't pick hers. We're just going to live with what we got. And my name is Violetta.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Hey, Judy, I'm sure there's some news in the newsroom. I don't care what you say
now. No, please. Let's continue.
No. There's got to be a famine or something you want to report on in the news.
Actually, no, not this time. President Trump working to fill yet another crucial White House post.
Adam Hogue joins the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning from Hallis Hall, talking about reaction and what's ahead for the Bears after that stunning defeat of the L.A. Rams.
It was pretty stunning. A lot of people were calling that game, though. Who are saying the Bears are going to win this thing because it's going to be cold. And I didn't really want to believe that the weather was going to have that much of an impact, but it sure seemed like it did. And I know that we had Ed Obradovich on last hour said that, you know, for NFL players, that's not that big of a deal. I kind of think it was last night. You saw them all sort of struggling in the passing game. You really run into a problem when you can't feel your hands. Right? Isn't that the
issue? But how is that not a problem for the Bears team? If they can't fill
it, I think there are teams that are used to, you know, most of these players, you know, they talk about all these players they played in high school or college. Guys who played in Ohio in high school or at Ohio State in college or something like that or Michigan, you know, that, yes, but that's not everybody on the field. A lot of these guys are from the South and they don't play in that kind of weather. And they played college in the South. You know, Chris Collinsworth last night was talking about that. He played at the University of Florida, and he remembers, you know, when he got up to play in the NFL up in Cincinnati, it was like, whoa, right, when it gets cold.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely played a factor into it for the Rams, but I think more than anything, it just showed how damn good this Bears defense is. And the conversation about who the best defense is in the NFL, it just needs to end now. It is clearly the Chicago Bears.
No question.
Right.
What they did last night was unbelievable. Right.
And they've gotten better every game. Now, the real question here is, when are we going to find out about Bryce Callahan?
Probably in about 2 days.
Yeah.
Probably Wednesday we'll know more. But he was having just an amazing year and a contract year. He was going to get paid this offseason, so hopefully it's nothing too serious. But all things considered, they've been pretty much okay in the health department compared to some other teams and compared to what we've seen from Bears teams recently.
Well, I think that's why this is an important year, because you see this is a window.
100%.
Right,
100% agree. That you don't often go through an entire season where all of your best players stay healthy like this.
Right. And that's
you want to take advantage of that.
Yep, and I think they can. So let's They clearly are a playoff team. And so the question is, even if they, and you know, they're going to beat at least one team. They're going to go 10-6 at least, maybe 12-4. It would really be something. All right, we got Judy Pilak standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, coming your way in 2 minutes.
Sherry Christmas, it's more than just ribbons and bows. It's a that girl's sharing Christmas. Open your hearts on this day, letting your love light the way.
That is Jim Peterick on lead vocals, yes. The Ides of March, from our first Roel show on Friday in Palatine at Dirty Nelly's at and Jim, I don't know how many times have we done that show together.
I'm thinking it's like the 16th year.
Yeah, that you and I have done a Christmas show together like that.
Nice.
And I think that was the best we ever did.
Well, I have to say, it was a stone gas, my man.
Well said, Jim.
exactly what you'd expect a guy who was number one on the charts in the 70s to say to you. That's exactly what you'd expect.
You don't hear that often.
The thing about this is we never raised more toys than we did on Friday than in all the other years that we've done this. We never had a haul like that. This is the Marines told us that this was the largest haul they've had all year long for Toys for Tots.
Single largest collection of the season. You think about that. I mean, people just responded so generously. It's moving. I love it.
Well, it was a magic day. You know, Larry and I, all the guys, we got together afterwards and we was talking about it. The spirit in the room and on stage was just, you can't manufacture that. I remember when hi, Anna, how are you?
Good, Jim. Great to see you out there Friday. Good. You were awesome.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, the audience makes it. You know, we went into Sharing Christmas, and thank you for playing that just now. That sounded pretty good for a live version. And the whole audience, we looked out there, and they were swaying back and forth this organic hippie fest. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was like a music fest. Like, people were just so into the spirit of the whole thing.
There
it
are
just
great
smiles on their faces.
There are great pictures at WGNRadio.com, too, if people want to see that. 1,600 toys raised, $5,000 in cash raised that day as well for Toys for Tots. And let me just get this in very quickly, and then we'll talk about what you're doing. New Balance Chicago was the presenting sponsor. Hilton's of Chicago, Apple Chevrolet, Lou Malnati's Taste of Chicago, Verdoliak Law Group, Sweet Alley's, Arkadeck of Chicagoland, Never Measure, Morcus, Big League Pins, and Chicago Costume. We want to thank every single one of those for all the fine work they did for us and the money that they spent. And you guys were, you killed it. The Ides of March were excellent. And if you want to see the Ides of March again before Christmas, the big Christmas show is coming up Saturday at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles.
Yeah, that's our home away from home. And we've done the Christmas show there for about the last 7 years. It just feels right. And for me, the Christmas season starts, you know, when we do that show. And the first set is all Christmas-oriented music, some standards, but a lot of original Ides of March music, like Sharing Christmas and A Distant Trumpet, and things that people love. Second set, Full Metal Jacket. You know, we're pulling out Vehicle and Eye of the Tiger and High on You and all this fun stuff. You know, we're Mike Toomey, the WGN host, is opening up with his comedy. Then we got Adam Martinez, who thank you for featuring him. He's a recipient of our Vehicle for Education Award. He's terrific. And then the second set, we bring on the madman of Palatine in Arlington Heights, Mr. Jimmy Sons of the Shadows of Night. And we're doing Gloria, and not that Gloria. I'm talking about G-L-O-R-I-A, that Gloria.
Yes. Although you should actually, what I would like to see, you know, because the modern artist now likes to mash up these things.
That's
I'd like
true.
To see you actually mash those two together. I think that'd be something.
That'd be beautiful.
Something rather interesting, if I'm not mistaken.
Wait a minute.
And I'd
wait
be mistaken.
A that's a fantastic idea. Okay, done. We're gonna do that. We're gonna do a mashup, man. That's so sacrilegious. I love it.
That would be pretty incredible. Hey, Jim, how high up there does it rank to have Tom Skilling doing backup vocals for Vehicle for you up on stage? I thought that was such a speaking of magical moments. That was one of them Friday.
Well, you know, my wife was at home around the radio, and she's a huge Skilling fan. Who isn't? You know, we're Americans, and we love him.
More popular than Santa, we found out at the show.
We have a great picture. I don't know. Have we put this up yet, Kevin? Kevin put this up. That there's a picture where there's a picture of Santa. The real Santa is there, and Tom Skilling in the same frame. And there's a mob of people around Skilling wearing a Santa hat to get a picture. And there's nobody around Santa.
Poor Santa. He's off by himself. No one's paying attention to him, Jim.
You know, he was trying to get my ear. Like, he was really desperate. You know. He needed a friend, and I can get away.
So it was a great Chicago moment, though. You know, as Kev pointed out too, it was like Richard Roper, along with Tom Skilling, and the Ides of March, all singing Vehicle. It doesn't really get any better than that.
Well, Anna, you were dancing your you-know-what off.
Sure.
Right?
For a little portion there.
We're doing a little thing there, and you love you. Love you. Need you. Need you. You were like Cher. You know, you really were.
We had so much fun. It really was. I mean, it was all for a great cause, and really people delivered with that part of the piece of it for Toys for Tots, but it was a party, and you were a huge part of that, Jim. It was amazing.
Well, it was so much fun, and you had the those really cute little girls from the teenagers from,
Walter E. Smith?
Yeah,
they're teenagers. I
believe those are all moms, but okay.
They're all young moms.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they're cute. Whatever
yes,
they are.
They're incredibly well preserved. I think is what they are.
Yeah. Gosh, you guys, just stop. Okay, you probably want to stop.
Beautiful women.
There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, Jim, thank you very much. And let me just say this: if you want to get tickets to see these guys on Saturday night. ArcadaLive.com, A-R-C-A-D-A. ArcadaLive.com is a good place to get them. Go to the Ides of March website as well. Just Google the Ides of March. You'll find it, I-D-E-S of March. That's a month. And you can go see them. It starts at 8 o'clock on Saturday night in St. Charles.
Yeah, and thank you so much, you guys. That was such a gas. And, again, if you need some tickets, let me know. I would love to see you there.
All right.
Cool.
The great Jim Peterick. And thank you again, man. This was the most fun we've had doing this. And we've been doing a lot of them. But this is, I give so much credit to the WGN audience because they're so giving. And so, it's like, it is a, it was just, it, and that's why it was such a success. It's really the people who came out. And so
it was packed. I mean, you know, five people would leave and 10 people would come in. It was this revolving door of people.
Yeah, 1,100 people over the 4 hours came to that show.
Holy, I didn't know that factoid. That's awesome.
There you go. That's what it was.
All because of you guys. You're the best.
No, because of you, Jim. No, actually, do you want to know the truth? It's because of Skilling. But whatever. We'll take it. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Jim.
All right. Love you guys.
Love
God bless.
Love you.
Merry Christmas.
Need ya.
You think he ends every conversation like that? Ba-da-ba-ba-da.
You know, I wrote that song. That's what he likes to say. He has a Lamborghini that the license plate is Vuckel.
Oh.
Because he couldn't get the whole word vehicle out.
Vuckel wasn't available.
Yeah.
You got to read in between the lines sometimes on those license plates.
Yeah, you get, and that pretty much explains it right there. All right, let's find out from Judy what's happening in the WGN newsroom.
A Catholic priest in Glendale Heights removed from ministry.
Finished?
I am now. Yes.
Okay. Hey, Bears fans, enter for your chance to win two spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun, chicagotribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune.
All right. Now, I want to say that earlier on in the program.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, before I do that, in the PPG Paints green room right now, you know who's there?
Who's there?
Coming up at 6:40.
Who's there?
Vic Salerno.
Oh.
The real Vic Salerno.
The Vic
Salerno.
Oh,
yeah.
That's huge.
He's going to join us.
Kind of intimidated, though.
His cousin Nick, you know, is with us almost every day on the show.
Love Nick.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Vic's going to tell us about the game tonight, what's going on, you know, the old
Does
something
Vic talk
to think
like
about.
Nick? The way that he draws out the words.
You'll see. Also about, you know, are we going to get the sports betting? Are we going to get it? And Bears Packers, we got a lot to talk about. So if you like the football and you like to, you know, you like a little action, stay tuned. How you doing? Earlier, I mentioned that there are no Richard Nixon Junior High Schools in America. And therefore, it's something to think about. When you are president of the United States, you know, trying to do the right thing as opposed to the wrong thing. Trying to behave in a way that people would want their kids to behave.
And what's your legacy?
And right, so as it
Thinking
turns
about
out,
that.
It was made very clear to me that there I was wrong. There are two.
Two public schools named after former President Richard Nixon. Both of those schools, however, named for him when he was president, not after.
And they were too lazy to change the name,
apparently. They never decided they didn't want to change it. Contrast that with Kennedy, JFK, 73 schools, Thomas Jefferson. I'm sorry, 91 for Kennedy, 73 for Jefferson, and 13 already for Barack Obama. Two for Nixon. Nixon got two.
And what's absolutely amazing, there's 14 high schools named for Warren G. Harding.
Really?
Now, I know this. I know there's at least one because last night during the Bears game, one of the players, it was a Ram, who said that he, you know, they do that whole thing of where they went to college.
Uh-huh.
And the guy, you know, gave his name and then was like, Warren G. Harding High School. And I thought, Warren G. Harding High School?
Wasn't he president only for like 2 years? Or dying?
He was...
imagine the love letters passed around in class.
I know. I mean, Warren G. Harding does not go down as one of the great presidents, and he's still got 14.
It's not just, you know, fun flirting.
Oh, there's one in Hammond, Indiana. Did you know that? Right around the corner.
That's amazing.
You've seen a lot of them.
But it sounds like a very prestigious name if you don't know who Warren G. Harding is.
Many people don't know.
I go to Warren G. Harding.
Yeah, I was like,
most people just completely overlook that. Some are like, whoa.
Oh, wait, it was a Bear. It was James Daniels.
Oh, James Daniels.
Warren G. Harding. I wonder if he knows about the Warren G. Harding.
I doubt it.
Well, there's three of them in Ohio.
Because that's where Warren G. Harding was from,
yeah.
Obviously. Yeah, mm-hmm.
So we've got that going for him.
Warren G. Harding would write letters to his mistress, as one might recall.
And they were so specific.
You would hope that they would have a really good English department. I love your poise of perfect thighs when they hold me in paradise. I love the rose your garden grows. Love seashell pink.
Ew.
That over it glows.
Ew.
I love to suck your breath away. I love to cling there long to stay. I love you garbed, but naked more. Love your beauty to thus adore. I love you when you open eyes and mouth and arms and cradling thighs. If I had you today, I'd kiss you and fondle you into my arms and hold you there until you said, Warren, oh Warren, in a benediction of blissful joy. I rather like that encore discovered in Montreal. Did you?
Oh, the classic Montreal encore.
The old Montreal encore, yeah.
Oh, boy.
My favorite is Love You Garbed, but Naked More.
That's actually in a rap song now.
No way.
You look good in the Gucci, but something.
But better naked.
It's kind of an old
him,
turn of phrase. So at least 100 years old. He wrote that in 1912.
I think it's beautiful.
He was ahead
106
of his time.
Years old.
You think they read that poem in school in the Warren G. Harding school?
See, now what I'm
school?
Saying is that if you're in an English class at Warren G. Harding High School,
mm-hmm.
I would turn that in as a poem, and then when they go after you for it, go, "Hey,
guess what?
Warren G. Harding wrote it."
Well, and then you know how you always do projects on who is your school named after and
yeah.
the importance of it?
Get to know, yeah.
I mean, what are these kids, you know, highlighting?
Here's what I would like to do. I would like to have, you know, like the Daily Show has like a punk that they do, mm-hmm. like the Nation. I'd like to do this for all the Warren G. Harding high schools.
So guess what?
Is get the kids to turn these poems in to their teachers in class.
See how that works.
But even more so, I want to make the Montreal Encore into something.
Oh,
I want to make it
as dirty
thing.
As possible.
I want to make it an act that, like, you know.
Well, you know, your imagination can.
It sounds graphic. Yeah. I mean, there's something.
The Montreal.
Going on.
Hey, yeah. you guys want to do the Montreal Encore?
Whoa. The Montreal Encore.
Or guys together. Hey, last night, guess what I did with my old lady? I did the Montreal Encore. Huh?
Whoa.
How about that?
The old Montreal
Encore.
She let you
do that?
Yeah, she did.
What?
She doesn't
Was
let
it
me
your
do
birthday?
The Dirty Sanchez, but I can do the Montreal Encore.
Gosh, bro.
Are you about to say that on the radio?
I don't think so. You shouldn't be. And great, you know what's nice? I actually learned about what that was on this very radio program.
I have so many now. Bro, open the door. Unleash
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Oh. This is
not the rest of the world. I'll tell you that right now. But the dirty, but the Montreal Encore, we could do that for sure.
All that stuff got him in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And it might get us
it
in trouble, too.
It must have been his birthday.
Yeah, exactly.
They always do it on Montreal Encore on the birthday.
The old mustache ride in Montreal.
Yeah, that's right. Not, of course, not to be confused with the Cleveland Steamer. That's a different thing.
The old rusty trombone.
Yeah. That was my nickname. That was actually my radio name when I first started. I was in a band, and I thought, you know, what? It's fun. That was, you know, kind of my musician's name. Moved it over to radio. All right. Judy Pilek has the WGN News being brought to you by Townstone Financial. Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis right here on 720 yes. WGN. All right. The real guy is in the studio with us now, finally.
The real one?
The real one.
Thank goodness.
Vic Salerno, Director of Sportsbook Operations for BetChicago.com. And Vic, thank you for coming in because we have, you know, we've talked about you almost every day on this program. Since we first met you, and about
you made an impression.
You did
quite the impression,
and about how we kind of sort of covet you a little bit in the sense that you know we want to know what you know, and we want to have the spirit and the energy that you have for sports in a way that where we can actually make our money back. That's what we want.
This is a major moment for us.
Where's Kevin?
This is Kevin right there.
He's right next to you.
Kevin, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm doing great.
Yeah.
So this you got the favorite tonight and over?
I
got
to hear what you say first.
Okay. Don't be afraid to bet an underdog once in a while.
All right.
You see what just happened right there?
Hey, how about the Bears? I think they're 6-1 straight up against the spread, right?
Yes.
Over the last seven?
And another dog last night and under wins.
Look at that.
I don't understand anything of just what was
see,
that
now,
there
what was, at hold all. On,
can
excuse,
we translate,
excuse,
please?
Now, hold on a second. Excuse me. Now, in terms of dogs, like last night, I was thinking, you got to take the dog. You got to take the under.
Yep.
And I on the money line last night, I knew the money line last night because if they're going to win, they're going to win.
I agree with you, and I thought they were going to win.
Yeah.
They played a hell of a game. It was one of the most exciting games. People should learn that games go under, and you should bet them under once in a while.
See, but life's too short to bet the under.
No, it's not. I wouldn't be here if some games didn't go under.
You'd be under if they were.
I would be under.
That's now I understood that. That was one thing I understood.
See, I understand. So, in other words, so that dog is the person, the team that you think is going to lose the game, right?
Okay. The underdog.
That's the underdog.
Got it. Okay.
Right. And the under is a lot of games like for tonight. For example, tonight you got a really important game for the Bears tonight. You got the Vikings in Seattle against the Seahawks.
Right.
Go Seattle.
You want Seattle to win this because you want the Vikings not to win so that they're another game back from the Bears here.
Correct.
Right? Okay, so
for the playoff picture.
And Seattle's very tough at home, very loud stadium at night especially, right?
Yes, it is.
Do we know what the weather is tonight?
I don't, but I bet it's not as cold as here.
I'll get the weather report.
Get the weather, would you? This is very important.
How big of a deal is that on the games, the weather reports? So.
Well, look at the Rams last night coming here. It didn't look like they were too comfortable.
That's weather for you.
Right.
47 right now in Seattle.
Is it raining?
Precipitation, yeah. But No, 6%. So no.
Okay.
No.
Okay. All right. Dry and 40. That's good football weather right there. Yes. That's a dry track.
So we're looking at Seattle, the favorite tonight, by three?
Three and a half, yes.
Three.
Well, what do you got? Vic, come on, don't hit me with the hook. What do you got? You got three or 3.5? What do I got?
Well, I think you should take the three even.
Three
to be
even?
Honest.
Are you going to have to buy it down?
You might have to.
What do you think?
I don't know. I haven't, minus 110? I've only been to one bar tonight, so I don't know what the
line
is.
I'm just saying, if I were taking it, if you and I were making this transaction right now, what would it cost me to get three?
$1.20.
$1.20. Oh, look at you.
I'm all hard.
I'm going to call him Vig now instead of Vic. What's going on there? All right. So it's 120. All right. So I got to spend $120 to win $100. I'm just going to help you with this.
Okay. Thank you.
I got to spend $120 to win $100. If this were all legal in Illinois, which we're going to make it legal in Illinois. Yeah. Sports betting is now going to be legal around the country. In New Jersey, we could be doing this. We could have had this conversation, right?
That's correct. Yeah. I already have three accounts there. So.
Right. And I have a friend who just picked up, who just turned us on the internet in New Jersey, so it's totally legal what we're doing here. So I would have to spend $120 to make $100 if I bet Seattle, and what has to happen here is Seattle has to win by three or more.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if they win just by three, it's a push. So
nobody wins.
Nobody wins anything. Do you win at that point? No, you don't.
No, we have to give the money back. The whole 120.
The whole 120 bucks back.
Terrible.
Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to, and I want to do it because now what he tried to sell me there was the hook. which means that if it's three, I lose. Mm-hmm. But if it's four, I win. The difference in so for example, if it was 27-23, I would win the game.
Mm-hmm. The hook ensures someone will win.
Right, exactly. Okay. Mostly Vic. Now, yeah. Vic, let us.
Man's got to eat.
Do I look
I've got
like
kids.
Although I will say this, that the bookies had taken, like, 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago, the bookies took terrible bad beats, right? And I don't think yesterday was particularly great for the book.
Not when nine underdogs win and seven win the game outright. No, the books usually do pretty well. It's hard for a person to bet the underdog in a game. They just feel the other team superior.
Right.
And it's hard to bet on a team you think is bad. When you go in it, not so much the Bears. I thought the Bears were a very live dog yesterday, but then you take the Dolphins, and then you see that Miami miracle.
Gosh, that was a miracle.
Oh, God. You have no idea what that did to me yesterday watching that come down.
I watched it over and over.
Wasn't it 5-2? Didn't they cover?
Yes. Well, the problem was that New England was going to go in, and they ran the ball three times, and then they sacked Brady. And they would have gone up to cover the spread, and then it turned all around, and they wound up not only covering the spread, but they lost the game outright.
Outright.
1 point, right? Wasn't
well, okay. The game by one, but that.
Oh,
God,
matter.
Vic, to have Miami on the money line. Oh, God. Oh, I can't even think about it. That would have paid me probably 140, right?
Oh, more than that. We would have got about 3-1 on that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
They were like, well.
So I'd have bet $100. On Miami to win the thing outright, mm-hmm. and it would have gotten 3-1 to get to 300-1.
Oh, wow.
How about the Raiders yesterday beating Pittsburgh?
Mm-hmm. What did that go for?
Well, they were like a 14-point favorite, 15-point favorite. So look at that, and they won outright.
What was that? What would that have paid? Do you think? Do you know?
Right up there with
300.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, God.
Ro gets upset when he misses some opportunities.
Listen,
make a little cash.
I have when I started in the horse racing business, a guy, a very wise man, mm-hmm. once told me, he goes, the less you bet, the more you lose when you win.
That's very true, because I put it a different way. The only time you lose is when you win, because you don't get paid as much as you're supposed to get paid, because they're taking anywhere up to 20% or more out of the bet.
Are you saying go big or go home?
What we're saying here, this is like Yoda is what's going
really
on
is.
Here. It's sort of like, I don't understand a word of what's going on here, but you do. Once if you start betting on sports, like you can legally do in New Jersey, you start to learn these aphorisms, because they start to make some sort of sense. Because if you don't want to, like, let's just say if you decide, like, on a, like, let's call it, all right, a team. Let's say on Seattle tonight. Let's say, well, I don't know, because Minnesota, they're playing for something, and they're there. So I think I'm just going to bet $50. And let's say Seattle blows them out. You're like, God, I wish I bet $500. So you would have lost all the difference between betting $500 versus $50.
It's always woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Yeah, for sure. That should be that. Actually, you should have three Mercedes. One with the license plate woulda, and then coulda, and shoulda.
You got it.
Here you go, Ro. Here's a little nugget for tonight, courtesy of Bet Chicago. Seattle, profitable lately, 6-1-1 against the spread in their last eight.
Okay, see, now that's the thing about, let me just, a little plug for Bet Chicago, because that's your, I know you do this, you're big time, Vic. But the Bet Chicago website, if you go on that, now I've been doing this last couple of weeks, you know, on Sunday mornings, just for entertainment purposes.
Of course, that's what we thought.
And I look to see, and they do have, they're looking at the same sort of stuff. I mean, you're putting this in, Vic, the same sort of stuff that all the books are looking at in Vegas, right? The differentials here.
That's correct. What Bet Chicago, what we're trying to do here is we want to be one of the operators in Illinois. We feel it's a great state, and we feel that we have more educated people here. So it should be a real challenge and a great opportunity. I mean, we have a little population here, so I think it's going to be
great. You want to bet $20 on a football game? I mean, look at all the other stuff that goes on in this country that people are doing bad things.
What's the big deal?
Yeah, what's the big deal?
Do you think it's like marijuana, though? It's just eventually going to be in every single state, and we're just sort of holding it off?
Legally, you're holding it off, but it's here right now. You want to go out for a drink, and I'll get you a bet down to probably within 3-4 minutes.
three, 4 minutes? What are
you, that long? I'm sorry. Yeah. Maybe shorter.
I mean, right. And people, they go on, they have these apps and stuff that they go on, right. and everybody's right. using them, and they're offshore, and that's, or they got a, and then a guy shows up at a car wash, and you know, you go, oh, I got to get my car wash. You end up at a car wash, and everybody's paying everybody else $20, whatever it is.
And realistically, there's so much already in place in Illinois to do this if you actually physically want to go somewhere and do it. I mean, think about all the OTBs. Think about all the racetracks. Think about the casinos already in the state. I mean, it's all there, waiting for
you
it.
Have the infrastructure's already here. It's just getting the lawmakers off their rear ends to get this done, get it through, and let everybody start making a little bit and helping. Right.
Now, one of the questions that always comes up in this is, why would I leave my bookie? If I have to go to the state, let's say I live downtown, and maybe I'm going to drive out to Hawthorne or something because that's going to be close, and they got all the screens up, and it's going to be beautiful, and you're going to be able to watch all these the games like on a Sunday. Why would I do that if I'm going to make less money than if I go to
pay
my
a
book?
Premium too? Yeah.
Well, you really shouldn't. You should probably stay with them in those conditions. But I think that will change the outlook by the legislature. And that's a very good point, Ro, that when the legislatures get around to taxing us and all the license fees and everything mm-hmm. else, they should be more reasonable for us. And that's the only way we can compete. Now, there's other ways to do it. When you go and you look at ESPN or any of these, they're using sites offshore, and they're advertising ESPN is using lines that are offshore, and they could cut that down, which would help us too. But you still have to give value to the customer. The customers are smart. They're going to figure it out. I don't want to win $90 when I can win $100 over here offshore.
Especially over time.
The only thing is why somebody would. It is legal, and they are guaranteed of getting paid. And a lot of times, depending on or timely getting paid, I should say.
And you know what? It's also a lot safer, too, in a sense, because you're only going to take a bet where somebody's actually presenting the money. You're not creating credit lines and stuff like that, which is where guys can, men and women who have gambling problems get hurt, right?
Yes. Well, it's good, especially because here we really, I found out over my career that really the mobile wagering is the way to go because everybody has an account. And as far as the people that could be addicted to it or have gambling problems, we're tracking them. We will limit them to certain amounts, mostly ones that they put upon themselves before they get in and they're chasing.
Yeah, you know, chasing. Oh,
chasing.
But the sports book experience is so fun too. That's another factor into doing it. I mean, you go to Vegas and hang out at a sports book for 8 hours and watch sports. I mean, that's a whole nother attraction, I think, for people. Well, yeah, you have this bookie, quote bookie, but if you could actually go to a sports book and experience like a really great with 100 screens in front of you, the easy the availability to just walk up to a counter and place a bet, I think that will attract a lot of people as well.
Yes, and I think places like here, or the racetracks here, or some of the venues will duplicate that. Why? I mean, in Las Vegas, it's a great attraction, March Madness.
It's awesome.
It's great. It is the best, especially the first 4 days of the tournament.
I always get there and I have to bet Australian steeplechase, though, because it's the only thing that's on when I'm actually in the sports book. And I'm like, wait, well, I'm there like on a Saturday morning, and like in the spring when there's nothing going on. The college basketball hasn't even started. And sort of like, all right, well, go ahead. I don't know anything about this, but I'm willing to place a bet.
You might have a problem.
I might have a problem. You know what? It's not a gambling problem as much as it's a common sense problem, Vic. And that's really where. And just ask anybody in my life, and they'll tell you that. The great Vic Salerno. Thank you so much for being here.
Been a pleasure, especially coming in here. You guys, lovely offices, and mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. Anytime.
BetChicago.com.
If you want BetChicago.com is a place to go.
If you want to know about it, it's also a good place if you're. You want to be around a bunch of guys or friends or whatever it is, and you want to get into an argument about sports on a specific game about what it is. Bet Chicago's got great detail on everything that you could possibly imagine in sports. So it's like, you know, you'll know about a guy who's injured in a game that maybe nobody else is thinking about.
Very important.
Yeah.
Who would have thought to bet a defensive tackle on your fantasy contest to score last night? Not by a run, but by a pass.
Seriously. Right. Yeah. Think about that.
One of the greatest plays of all time.
Isn't that fun?
It was.
Isn't that fun? All right. Yep. Vic, thank you so much.
We're
huge fans, Vic.
We are.
Huge fans.
Okay.
Vic Salerno. I know now he's trying to get out of here without us trying to hug him. All right. Let's talk to, let's find out. It's Dan Kleppen. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
New contract approval means that teachers will be going back to the classrooms tomorrow.